Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to hear your word, to be blessed by the same. Today we receive wisdom, understanding in your word, and our lives are forever transformed in Jesus' name. Alright, so we're looking at the gifts of God, and we've seen it here. It talks about diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and the differences of administration, and we've been able to see that the gifts refer to what people call the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, and not necessarily, but let's agree with that at this point. The administration refers to the ministries, referring to the body, and then the operations refer to how the gifts work with the body. So that means the gifts are in the body of Christ, and so therefore, we as members of the body of Christ. Now, I did say this last week, when Paul begins to use the illustration of the body, don't be carried away to think that there will be a leg, a hand, and a nose, and all that. Basically, why he used the illustration of the body is to let you see the unity of the things of the Spirit in spite of the diversity of the workings. For instance, the body will have a leg that is different from the arm, and the nose different from the eyes, and all that. But everything is working as one. That's exactly why he used the parable of the body, the illustration of the physical body. He's not saying that a part of the body is the apostle, another part of the body is the prophet, this part of the body is the... And he begins to tell you that even some parts of the body that are necessarily not the honorable parts, we give them the best honor. He says so that there will be no schism in the body. So as he finished that particular illustration in chapter 12, he now says that now, in verse 27, you are the body of Christ. And members in particular. So he now tells you how we differ. Like using the eye, the leg, the nose, and then the arm, he says, God has set some in the church. Firstly, the apostles; secondly, the prophets; thirdly, the teachers. So that's how the body is. It's not a part is weak, another part is not weak. He just used that as an illustration to let you see that the body of Christ is actually one. That there are differences of ministries, but those ministries actually is just one ministry. That one ministry is the person of Jesus. And then we only differ, you know, in we only differ in how we minister the power of God through the body of Christ. So we don't differ in the gifts, we don't differ in the operations, as it were. We actually differ in the ministries. The gifts work with the ministries. The gifts are the abilities within the ministries, where the ministries function. That's what the gifts are. And so far we have been able to see that in clarity. So basically, the gifts work with the ministries. The gifts work with the body. The body already has the gifts, alright? So we differ in the operations, in the ministries, but the operations are just by God. God works with the gifts in the members. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, we have read that too severally. Paul now says to Timothy to neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. That word there means the eldership. So he says, do not neglect the gift. That is, there could be a neglecting of the things of God. And that doesn't mean that the fellow who has neglected them does not have them. Neglect can be a function of ignorance or just unbelief. You know, some people today will argue over just about anything that is of God as long as it does not apply to their logic. And this is how I say it. You cannot receive the word of God by logic, okay? You receive the word of God by faith in your spirit. Then you now train your logic, okay? Just like when you are sick. I'll explain to you now. If you're a scientist, and then, and the first thing they said, if you lay hands on you, you'll be healed. You first look at it, what are you, is your hand a stethoscope or a microscope or an MRI scanning machine or something? What do you mean by your hand? And that's logic. You say, what is in your hand that will make me heal? That's just logic. Now, but by faith, now your head will begin to argue, but by faith, if you receive healing and see that my sickness was put on Jesus, and I can see it clearly that by the stripe of Jesus I'm healed, I can see Romans 8:11 and say that, look, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, I trust the power of God within me today to bring healing to my body and effect a cure. Now, when you are healed, your mind knows you were healed. Your mind knows you didn't go for MRI scan. Your mind knows already that you did not have to take a drug and you were healed. So you begin, you have done what? You have started doing what? Educating your logic. So the next time the same condition comes to you, your mind will not argue again. Because your mind functions with what? Information. Your mind will argue again. You see, the reason why some people will never walk by faith is because they've not even attempted to train their logic. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your logic. The reforming of your mind. That you might be able to prove, acknowledge, test that which is the will of God. The perfect, the permissive, and the perfect will of God. So, it's important that we know that when it comes to the things of the Spirit too, you've got to start. You can't start with logic. You can't start imagining it and thinking, how is this possible? And all that. And you begin to wonder. You know, just like when you got born again. You just said yes to Jesus. And by faith you are saved. By grace. By grace you are saved through faith, which is the gift of God. But from that point you begin to grow in the Word of God. And then your mind begins to know that truly you have to pray. Truly you have to worship God. Truly you have to thank God. Truly you have to speak God's Word. Because now you have started educating your mind. Never put the mind first. What did I say? Because the mind is only an information storage. It's what you put in your mind that is your logic. When you give birth to a child, you have to tell him his name, tell him the colors, tell him everything. So the mind does not come with information of its own. It has to be told. Something has to be deposited there. So when you're born again, you need to, just like a baby, you have to treat your mind like a baby. But this time it is for misinformed baby. That you need to retrain in the things of God. So if you do not train your mind, you will neglect the gift of God. If you don't train your mind, and you just be looking at things that, you know, somebody was telling me, you know, I speak in tongues, but it looks like rubbish. That's what he said. And I told you that rubbish is relative. Am I not right? Rubbish is because you don't understand it. Is that not true? When I was in law school, my niece, she used to come around. I used to read. She would come around. And then she would disturb me. So, I wonder what I was going to do for her. So, one day she came around, Uncle Pastor. So, I began to tell her law cases. So, I said to her, this and this. I said, Donovan versus Stevenson, where the judge held, above other things. I know that she looked at me like this. So, I'm going to sleep. Now, was I saying rubbish? No. But I was speaking something that she didn't understand. You know, she would just go and meet her mommy. I don't know what Uncle Pastor is saying rubbish, right? Because she doesn't understand. So why people call tongues rubbish is because they are not learned. They are illiterate in the things of God. So that rubbish is relative to who? The hearer. Is somebody understand what I'm saying here? It is relative to the hearer. So it depends on where you stand. If you have to stand in the Word of God, speaking with tongues will not be rubbish to you. It is very clear. So when we start with our mind, it is very likely that we neglect the gift of God. We now resort to, you know, common sense and say, let's look at it logically. That's why for many people till date, in fact, I was reading on Facebook and I smiled and I said, you see, people have a problem with the fact that tongues is not human language. I said in Acts 2, when those people spoke, God made it possible so that they can speak in so many languages, so that we know that the gospel is for everybody. I said, but not like that. He didn't speak in so many languages. His tongues is other tongues. Another tongue. Another mode of communication. That's what it is. It's not the regular way we communicate as human beings. And we have, you know, been able to teach that in a number of our teachings very, very clearly. So, having seen that, you know, in verse 28, 1 Corinthians 12, concerning the gifts of God, he says, and God has set some in the church. Alright? Don't forget, where did he set it? So where can you find it? Beautiful. He set it in the church. Okay? And when he set in the church, he set firstly apostles, first apostles, secondly prophets, and thirdly teachers. And we have identified these ones as the ministries. And he gives after that is the operations. Okay? He has told you the gifts from verse 8 down to verse 10. So he's not talking about the ministry. Because where the next thing he mentions was what? Gifts. Ministries, operations. So when he finished, we said we don't define gifts, we define in gifts. No? In what? Ministries. So it begins to tell you what God has set. Okay? The diversity is in the gifts, And there will be diversity in the operations based on, in the ministries. The diversity of the operations based on the ministry. So that diversity comes out in verse 28 when it says some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, are all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. And we have seen that when it said do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, it wasn't talking about speaking with tongues like we speak in tongues. It was talking about tongues for ministry. Diversity of tongues. That is why in verse 28, it doesn't mention interpret. But when it goes to 29 and 30, it says interpret. Because diversity of tongues is tongues plus what? Interpretation. So what he was saying there is prophecy. And he wasn't saying, can you speak in tongues? He didn't say that. He says what? And you cannot say no. Do you understand my point? You cannot say no. Because by the time you read chapter 14, you will know he was not talking about speaking with tongues, but the diversity of tongues, which involves tongues plus prophecy. Apparently, some people in Corinth were not desiring to have the operation of tongues of interpretation in their midst. So that was what was placing their attention on. So this would be very careless. Well, you see, everybody does not speak with tongues. I know that. I think we passed that anyway. So now, notice what he said in verse 31. He says, desire earnestly the best gift. And you know the thing. It was not including apostles, prophets and teachers, or workers of miracles or gifts of healings. When he said desire earnestly the best gift, he was talking about tongues and interpretation. That's what he was saying. Because by the time you enter chapter 14, when he begins to explain it, he says to you that speaks in tongues does well. He told you that in verse 2 and 3. But he says that greater is he that does what? Prophesies. That is, that speaks with tongues and interprets. So when he said the best, he was referring to, you see some versions say the greater gifts. Okay? The greater he was referring to there was prophecy. Okay? Some versions have greater. Whose version has greater? These are the greater gifts. Because the word there has to do, you know, with something in comparison. So the comparison is between tongues and the interpretation of it. Tongues and prophecy. That was what he was saying. He didn't say forget tongues and prophesy. That's not what he's saying. Because he's teaching operations here. So, he says to desire. Chapter 14 verse 1 says the same thing. Desire. So the thing about the operations that God has set in the church is that we desire. When we don't desire, we neglect it. Are you listening now? When we don't desire it, what are we doing? We're neglecting it. Because where did he set these things? Where? In the church. So he says, can the hand say to the leg, I don't need you? So it's a question of desire. What he has set in the church. So, today, these things are present in the church. They are not outside the church. Interestingly, let me say it again. They are not in heaven. They are in the church. And you are in the church. Okay? Now, that's not even where we're going. We don't want to, because he has set some in the church. Because he has set it in the church. So, we must look at the church. And last week, we took a voyage to Acts chapter 2. That was where the church was born. The day of Pentecost is the day where Israel was born. Let me say this and say it to you. The nation of Israel, as we know, was born when God gave them the law. He made a covenant with them. When that happened and the church was born, we are going to see from the back of the church what was prominent in the church. So we'll take a voyage to Acts 2 again, and you permit to also go to Acts 10, because that was the fullness of the manifestation of the gospel, the Gentile and the Jew. Now, we're going to see it, but we're going to harm ourselves with the teaching of Paul. So we enter Acts 2 again. Can we go? Okay. Some will not come with us. They'd rather have us give them the pictures. But you can come. Acts 2. We want to enter it with the revelation that Paul gave in 1 Corinthians 14. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, we have seen that fully come. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, what time of the day was that? 6 a.m., right? That is when the day of Pentecost began. Okay? And Jesus had told them that they were going to what? You see the Holy Ghost, when they tarry in Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. He had told them the day. So wait in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost. Okay? Now on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came, as Jesus has said, in Luke 24, 48 and 49, Acts 1:8, Acts 1:5. The Holy Ghost came. When the Holy Ghost came, the church was born. That was when the church was birthed. That was the birth of the church. Now, we won't go into all the other things. We've explained that enough. What happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, we'll discover that on the day of Pentecost, two things were primary. Two things were primary. Now you take your hand also, open to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 4. Two things were primary on the day of Pentecost. It says, there came from heaven a sound as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. That obviously is revelation. Right? Right? That is what? Revelation. Okay? Then they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. That is what? Utterance. So we've seen utterance and revelation in Acts 2. Now, when Peter began to preach amongst the apostles that we saw last week, based on the revelation he had, based on the knowledge he had from the scriptures, he pointed them to Joel chapter 2 and verse 28-32. He says, and it shall come to pass in verse 17, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. So the first key note in the outpouring of the Spirit is utterance. They shall prophesy. The second thing, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. The law of double mention shows us the emphasis will be what? Huh? Prophecy. That's the law of double mention. The emphasis, therefore, is in what was said. Now, having said that, we said that was how the church was birthed. Did you observe something? That on the day of Pentecost, and in Paul's teaching, in 1 Corinthians 14, as it were, the power gifts were not mentioned. They were not mentioned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please make that observation, verse 4, and my speech and my preaching, speech and preaching, the word is discourse and declaration. Discourse and declaration. Discourse and declaration. It says, and my preaching was what? Was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. Let me tell you what I meant by that. Discourse means the subject matter. Preaching is how I put it out. It's the same word, just played around. It says, was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Did you observe? He didn't say the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. He says of the Spirit, one, and of power. The Spirit, one, and of power. You see why? Of the Spirit and of power. Take note of that. So, on the day of Pentecost, what we have seen is the demonstration of what? The Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit and they spoke. They saw. Okay? We didn't hear a case of anybody getting healed. The same thing, when you take a voyage to Acts 10, in the house of Cornelius, in the birth of the church, among the Gentiles, again we can see it, that the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. Look at it, Acts 10. The Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. And the Bible says, in verse 46, they spoke with tongues and magnified God. Let me say this. It is not impossible on that day, whether it's Acts 2 or Acts 10, that somebody was sick. Somebody follow what I'm saying? Are you following? Somebody might be weak somewhere, or tired, or something. Or having a headache, or backache, or the usual one, mess of pain. Amen. Amen. You don't believe that? That's all, I've had mess of pain. But the birth of the church related with something I want you to put your attention on. In chapter 19 also, in Ephesus, the same thing. In the birth of the church. If you now observe, after this, in chapter 3 of Acts, book of Acts, we see power. From verse 6 down in the temple. Chapter 4, verse 33, we see power. Chapter 5, verse 12, we see power. Chapter 6, Philip and Stephen, we see power. Chapter 8, verse 9, Philip again, we see power. So, there was power. But, there was like a forerunner of the things of God, which came by the virtue of utterance and revelation. And in the order of Paul's ministry too, he says, my speech and my preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit. Of the Spirit and of power. Of the Spirit and of power. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, don't forget I said we are taking the trip based on Paul's teaching. Verse 26. How is it then when you come together? Every one of you had a psalm, had a doctrine, had a tongue, had a revelation, had an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Now, you see that nothing is mentioned there around the power gifts. Nothing. At all. In chapter 12, we just read that from 29 to 31, he said you should desire the best gifts. And we have seen that what he was referring to by chapter 14 is what? Prophecy. Let me see if you are following this. Are you getting this at all? Good. Now, why? Listen carefully. The power gifts, that is what by the teachers that have taught us, and they are credible, Howard Carter, F.F. Bosworth, Kenneth Hagin, and so on and so forth. The power gifts, we consider of the gifts of faith, the workings of miracles, and the gifts of healing, deal with the sense realm. The physically tangible operation of the Spirit. In that something is done that eyes can see. When the gifts of healing is operation, something physical happens. When the gift of faith is in operation, something physical happens. When the gift of faith is in operation, something physical happens. That's why it's called the power gifts. The church is born of the Spirit. Are you listening to me now? The order will be the Spirit first. What happens in the Spirit is key. So the order is the Spirit and power. That's the order. You can have an expression from the Spirit into the sense realm, where it cannot come vice versa. So the order is the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So when we come together to in 1 Corinthians 14, look at it, verse 26, what is primary about church is the demonstration of what? The Spirit. That is the church. It is from ends that we differ, as it were, from physical Israel of the Old Testament. So when we come together in 1 Corinthians 14, notice this. Paul mentions psalm, spoken, doctrine, said, tongue, said, a revelation, something revealed, okay, and an interpretation. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, that shows us something. If you back up to chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, then 30, you will see that the revelations gifts, while all the utterance gifts, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy come out again as operations. Okay? They come out again as operations. Diversity of tongues, already being in tongues, interpretation, and what? Prophecy. But revelation gifts are not listed as operations. As word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. They are not listed as operations. But we're going to see in a moment that rather they come through the operations that we're supposed to desire. So again, that means in the church age, they are not primary in operation. The primary thing gifts in operation will be tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Now, look at the order again in 1 Corinthians 14, 26. If any man, 27, speaks in tongues, see again, it starts with what? Tongues, utterance. Let it be two or by three, and let another one interpret, prophecy. So it brings in three. Tongues, interpretation, and then prophecy. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So he's still speaking, okay? But he cannot minister with it, okay? 27, 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. And if any be revealed to another, let him that sit by. So you can see that revelation comes how? In that order. After what? Tongues plus interpretation. If anything be revealed, he told you that, look, when there is no interpreter, he said, or interpretation, you keep quiet. Let the prophets now speak. In other words, the prophets are those who are given to what? Tongues plus what? Interpretation. And when they begin to function in those things, he says, there could be, if there be, there could be what? A revelation. A vision, a word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom. Are you following this? He now says to the prophet, he says, you can all prophesy one by one and may be comforted. And the spirit of the prophet are subject to the prophet. Did you see what he had just said? So everything he listed there, he says they are subject to the prophet. Can you see that? Tongues, interpretation, revelation, said they are subject to what? The prophet. They are within the scope of the ministry of the prophet. So going back to chapter 12, because he had told you firstly, secondly, thirdly, after that. So the things he said after that are subject to ministry. Are you getting that? They are subject to ministry. The fellow who spoke in tongues and didn't interpret, do you know what his problem is? He has not discovered his place in ministry. So the prophet there is a general word for those who have discovered their place in ministry. It's a general word for those who have discovered their place in ministry. Because the fellow who spoke in tongues and did not interpret is a fellow who has not been giving himself to the things of God. Ah, Pastor, how do you know? He had told you to convert. That is, give yourself to it. So the reason why the guy could not is because he had not been giving himself to it. But the prophet has passed that level. Are you following what I'm saying here? The prophet is functioning in the ministry. The guy who speaks in tongues and can't interpret is just a guy who thinks it's just for prayer and worship. So he's just in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, 9, and 10. But the fellow who has begun to, who starts to minister in church, will find his own tongues where 1 Corinthians 12, 28, 29, and 30. Let me see if you are following that. Do you get that? So he has now moved from just giving to what? Operations. Are you listening now? Which only happens where? In the ministry. Is that okay? So now see, so the revelation gifts are not operations, but they come from operations. They are, that means they are a result of the workings. So listen to this carefully. That means the primary working of 1 Corinthians 12, 6 is tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. That was why Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians 14, it boiled down to that. Because on the day of Pentecost, the working of the Spirit primarily was what? Tongues and interpretation. That's what it is. You see, this is the reason why the utterance gift, particularly tongues, has been so fought. It has been fought and fought so badly, but that they have never won. We have the working of God in His church. That's the working of God in His church. Now, watch this. We said the prophet is the man who is giving is. These things are subject to his ministry. Now, you know, in carelessness, just like people do today, you hear the word prophet, and the next thing on their mind, they go to the Old Testament, and they're looking for Ezekiel and all these people. No. Where was prophet first of all mentioned after the death of Jesus? He ascended up on high, right? And he gave gifts unto men. He set it in the church. You can't find it in Psalm, whatever. You can't find this one in Ezekiel, okay? Because this was, he gave gifts unto men after he ascended, Ephesians 4:8. Do you understand that? 1 Corinthians 12:20, he said it in the church. You can't find it in the life of Moses. Let me see if you are following what I'm saying here. You have to come to where it happened. So the first mention we find about the prophet is Acts 11. A man by the name of Agabus. And there came, verse 27, prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus. He stood up and signified by what? He signified by the Spirit. That word signify means to give signs by the Spirit that there will be great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius. So what was primary in this scenario is signified by the Spirit that he said. So what was primary in the life of Agabus was utterance. Is signified by the Spirit. Is signified by the Spirit. That is, he made us see by the Spirit. And you will see this, that what Agabus did here was tongues and interpretation. That will happen here. Tongues for interpretation. In Acts 21, we see the same fellow, a prophet of God, the certain prophet named Agabus was saying, he came to Paul, took his girdle, and bound his hands, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. Now you will discover that, now this is what I want to say, this is by the way, but I will have to say it now. Some people now say they are prophets. And the reason they think they are prophets is because they give us word of knowledge. No. The reason why you are a prophet, I'll tell you. The reason why a man is a prophet is not based on the gifts of the Spirit. The reason why he's a prophet, right, in our midst, is because he is perfecting the saints and training them for the work of ministry. You will discover that prophets were also found in Acts 15. Judas and Silas, in verse 32, prophet also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. The word confirm means to strengthen. And they tarried there for a time when they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. But Silas still waited. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching. So, the prophet ministry is seen when he preaches and teaches and strengthens the church. He strengthens us by the word and we are growing. However, the uniqueness of the way he does it is that he does it also with the equipment of the things of the Spirit that are prominent in his ministry. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, and revelation gifts. Or is he a man who doesn't teach? He doesn't preach. He comes up. There's somebody here. There's somebody there. And begins to say things about the nation. Begins to say something about Nigeria. I know that that is not a prophet. That's a fake person. We know him by being a preacher of the gospel of Christ. And in his preaching, there is demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Let me see if you understand that. Is that clear? Good. So, let the prophet speak to at most by three. In Acts 13, 2, we see that was what happened. Now, back to 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Notice this. It says there are diversities of tongues. Now, when you hear diversity, it just means different demonstration of something. Okay? It now goes to verse 30. It now told you what he's saying is tongues plus interpretation. Because in verse 4, it says that diversity of gifts but the same. Okay? So, there are diversity of tongues but the same tongue. Are you listening here now? Aha. It's the same. Don't think that when you now enter the issue of operation, your tongues now believe. If it's just for prayers, no. If it's just for healing, it's. Are you following what I'm saying here? It is what it is used for. Don't go have residual tongues. You know which one to remove and tell us at this point. Okay. Now, observe this. 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, forget the 14. I'll take you to a scenario in a moment. In Numbers 11, we showed it, we opened it last week. Numbers 11. Where God called Moses, Moses complained to God about, you know, not being able to bear the burden of the people. And God said this, and I want you to listen carefully. Don't forget we said there are diversities. That is the same thing, but, you know, in a different operation. Are you listening now? Are you following this? Now, let us see a diversity in a moment. God now called Moses in Numbers 11. He said, look, gather the elders of the people into the tabernacle, verse 16, and they may stand with you. Verse 17, I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take of the Spirit that is upon you. And I will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that thou will not bear it alone. Now when that happened, in verse 25, the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the Spirit that was upon him, gave it unto, notice the word diversity. 70 elders came to pass, and when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. And there were some folks like that, Elder and Medad, who also had that happen. So, the same thing was happening on different people. In different people. So, listen to this now. Moses now said, look, Somebody told him that, look, these folks are not in the camp and they are prophesying. And Moses said, look, woe to God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord will put his spirit upon them. That the Lord will put his spirit upon them. Now look up. That shows you that that diversity Paul said that you can desire is actually meant for each believer. The issue with believers is the function of desire. And like I always said, you cannot desire what you don't know. You can't even desire what you don't like. You can't desire what you don't believe. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Do you want poison? Say, I desire it. You can't desire it because you think it's poison. You understand my point? So, the issue with desire there has to do with, it takes a lot from knowledge. Now, we want to see diversities of tongues. Now, how does it work? How does diversity of tongue work? I told you last week that scenario, just like in the Old Testament, that how they yield to the Holy Ghost is that there will be a tangible thing, as it were, on them. Then based on that, they will speak. Now, that has been replaced because we are men of the Spirit. That tangibility today, that causes men to utter things on behalf of God or for God, is tongues. That's what it is. Tongues is equated with what happened when we said the Spirit of God came upon me. That's what tongues is today, in this age. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. So it says, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. You know how we used to read it in those days? We say that, Pastor Jakes has a tongue, Bro Tunde, he can't have a tongue, has a psalm. The pastor already has a tongue. Yeah, bro, he has a doctrine. What kind of doctrine? Fall down and die. And then, everybody has things like that. So we all come together, let all things be done, you know, unto edifying. No. What he's saying is this. When you come together, listen to this, look up now. When we come together, let's drop your pen, listen. When we come together, of what use is your tongue? It has to be what? Eh? That's be what? Because he told you, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all, but in the church. Are you listening now? So the use of that tongue, the diversity of that tongue will be what? Interpretation. And when there is an interpretation, it will interpret either as a psalm, as a doctrine, or as a revelation. So 1 Corinthians 14:26 was not Holy Ghost meeting. It was teaching diversities of tongues in church. It's good to call it Holy Ghost meeting. At least it tells us what you can do. Are you following what I'm saying? Is that clear? It was telling you. That was why the first thing he mentioned was what? Tongues. Did you discover that in the list, he didn't start with tongues? But when he was going to go to verse 27, the first said, if any speak with tongues, let it be by two or at most by three, and let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence. Now listen carefully. Do you think, again, there are two ways you can look at it. Look up now. Look up. Like, okay, let somebody speak in tongues. Let somebody speak in tongues. Let somebody speak in tongues. Let me get the tongues. So just stop. That's not what he said. He said, when you come together, each one of you has. Right? Right? Now, it says that, let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence. Who should keep silence? Is it the first, the second, or the third? He had told you, if any speak with tongues, by two, or at most by three, and by course, let one interpret. Don't forget, 26 says that when you all come, each one of you, right? Because he had told you, the measure of the Spirit gives to everybody to follow with that. So what he is telling you to do here is to desire. The man that doesn't interpret is a man that has not done what? 14 and 15. The man that has not desired. Now, see. Now, see this. Tongues in prayer. When we are praying, tongues need no interpretation. Okay? But when we come and you are praying for someone, you are ministering. Tongues, therefore, requires interpretation for the recipient. How can he receive? That is, how can he say amen at thy giving of thanks? He's saying amen is to receive what you are saying. Okay, now listen to this now. Listen to this. Hence in 26, a psalm is the way somebody will receive what I'm saying. A doctrine is the way he will receive it. A revelation is how he will receive it. Are you listening to this? Is that clear? So he will say amen. He will receive what I have said. Earlier on, he told you when you speak with tongues and you interpret, he said the secret of the heart of the unbeliever will be made manifest. That's what? Revelation. So revelation is how he will receive it. Now, if I'm speaking with tongues, I am speaking to God. Okay? On its own, I have prayed well. He said, look, you have indeed praised God well. He said, but how can he that sits in the room of the unlearned say amen? How can he receive what you have done? So that shows you that the gifts of the Spirit, of tongues, become operation with diversity of tongues. Because when they become operation in what? The ministry. Is somebody following this now? Because when you pray in tongues, you pray in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. Now look at Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, we have gone to Acts 2, the very beginning. And we have seen that in being filled with the Spirit, the utterance that comes out, that came out of those folks, was other tongues than interpretation. So what he's saying here, when he says be filled with the Spirit, how? What is he referring to? He's referring to speaking with tongues. That's what he's saying here. Is referring to speaking with tongues. Because these same folks in Acts 19:6 in Ephesus, when Paul got there and laid hands, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and the Bible says they spoke with tongues and prophesied. That prophecy is what we are reading here. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So that being filled with the Spirit and speaking is tongues plus interpretation leading you to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Listen to this now. You see, that is the uniqueness of the church age. Many people want to prophesy like Isaiah. They will struggle and do it. Many want to prophesy like Ezekiel. Prophesy as a believer. A man who is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Tongues plus interpretation. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. However, in the church, he says, I will speak how many words? Rather 5 words in understanding than 1,000 words in tongues. When he said in church, he's not saying when I'm sitting in church. He's saying when I stand up to say something to the church. Are you listening now? Now, when he got to explaining to them, he said, I thank my God I speak tongues than you all. That means that everybody there speaks tongues as they do. He now said that if this fellow cannot interpret, let him still speak to himself and to God. That means when Paul is in a service and he is not ministering, he is doing what? He is speaking with tongues. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Because that is, I want to use the word New Testament way of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Under the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost will come on them. But in this age, after the birth of the church, it's via tongues plus interpretation. So when the guy can say amen, it is when your tongues are interpreted, you know, I say this and I put like this. Tongues will be a package. Interpretation distributes the power of tongues. Tongues is the package. So tongues come in as a package. Interpretation distributes the power of tongues to the church. But on its own, tongues are a benefit to you. But when it comes to others, interpretation supplies the power in what you are saying to others. So that means, listen to this. I can say to someone, if I want to minister to the sick now, I want to pray for a man who is sick, I can lay hands on him and then minister by tongues and interpretation. What happens? When I interpret, he will be able to receive and be edified. Edified means he is strengthened, he is filled, he receives the power of God. So I can actually lay hands on the sick with tongues and then interpret. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Okay. That will be to minister by the Spirit. Okay? So in the church age, we have seen that the flow of Spirit precedes that of power. Now, when things are distributed, it will come first as revelation. Revelation. And after that will be power. I will show you. Acts 4. The first way a prophet was known in the Old Testament, people that the Spirit of God came upon, was because they will reveal to you the mind of God. And accompanying it will be signs and wonders. Now look at this. Acts 4. When those folks gathered together and they prayed, the Bible says in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken together where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you see that? Can you see that? What now happened? And they spoke, verse 31, Acts 4, the word of God with what? Boldness, utterance came. Verse 33 together, everybody, want to go? And with great power, gave the apostles witness, and great grace was upon them. So what happens? Tongues, then what? Utterance, then what? Power. Power will be distributed. Sure. So tongues is not for the hearer. When you are ministering, is for the minister. Okay? The hearer requires what? The interpretation. Which will come forth as a doctrine, a teaching and instruction, a revelation, and many more. So what we actually call a Holy Ghost meeting is a church meeting. Where people do what? They desire the things of God. That's what it is. So what we call a Holy Ghost meeting is so called because we have a desire. That's what it is. And you can see clearly that in that meeting, everybody can contribute. The degree of your contribution, therefore, is based on your desire. Can you see that? It's based on your desire. The issue is your desire. In a meeting of that nature. So, what is primary to us today? As the church is the demonstration of the Spirit. And I'll show you why it is called the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes when we hear the word the Spirit, okay, the first thing on our mind is the Holy Ghost. It's an insult. To say the Holy Ghost is demonstrating. Is God. Are you listening to me? Are you following this? It's an insult. When we hear demonstration of the Spirit and of power, we are referring to the recreated human spirit. So, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, all the gifts of the Spirit are the demonstration of the born again human spirit. Those are the abilities. They are not the abilities of God. Are you listening? They are the received, as it were, the inherent ability of a man that is born again. They are not gifts of the Holy Ghost when you are born again. They are called gifts of the Holy Ghost, showing you they came by the Holy Ghost. But they are gifts of the Holy Ghost in the human spirit that is born again. So they are actually the flashing forth. That means the first sign of the born again human spirit is utterance. No man can say, Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost, you've seen that, is utterance. That utterance has an inherent capacity to reveal the mind of God. And then, power is made available. That's why it says, demonstration of this spirit and of power. This spirit referring to the man who is born again. Because he says to you, he says, no man knoweth the things of a man but the spirit of the man that is in. He says, we know not the things but by the Spirit of God. That's not the Holy Ghost. I've said that to you many times. Not the Holy Ghost. We have received not the spirit that is of this world, but the spirit which is of God. Are you getting here now? The recreated human spirit, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He says, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. So it's referring to the born again human spirit. So when we come to church like this and we have that display, it's simply because men are conscious of the recreated human spirit that they bear within their mortal body. I'll say this. One of the greatest things, and listen to this, and this is a paradox for me, is that, you see, the greatest thing God gave to humanity is that recreated human spirit that came from God. And interestingly, it was put in a mortal body. A physical body. Bible says we have this power in an earthen vessel. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So you might just think that, well, they are from my spirit. And they are of God. But they have been given and placed in the human spirit that is born of God. That is why the word gifts of the Spirit are, listen to this, they are for the redemptive age. There was no gift of the Spirit in the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost came on them and he left. Today, these things are gifts to us. Charisma, abilities. Abilities, things we can do. Amen. Things we can do. So when Paul said, 1 Corinthians 12, sorry, 1 Corinthians 2, and my speech and my preaching. Notice what he said, my speech and my preaching. The initial thing he said is, I determined not to know. So, it was a choice of his. My speech and my preaching was not with the demonstration, and that's the word of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, what there is apodexis, to flash forth. A demonstration of the recreated human spirit is tongues. A demonstration of the recreated human spirit is interpretation. A demonstration of the recreated human spirit is what we see. These are the demonstrations of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Notice again, he didn't say the demonstrations. He had a demonstration. That is, this is the display of the human spirit. So, like the case of Moses came when the Holy Ghost came on them and all that. Today, this, it didn't come from Moses on anybody. God placed his spirit in us. Hallelujah. In us. So concerning the gifts of God, you are a recipient. You have the gifts of God. You have the gifts of God. What we talk about, I wrote this down. Let me just give this. I said, what we call the Holy Ghost meeting is a church meeting. Not a special meeting, rather a meeting where we specially cause a release of our spirit by desire. Where we cause a release of our spirit, or from our spirit by desire. Hence the prophets are those men who over time are giving themselves more to the things of God. Notice about Paul. Paul's uniqueness was not that he was an apostle. Paul's uniqueness was that he spoke in tongues more than they all. That he gave himself more to things. That was his uniqueness. Now we'll close by saying this. You see, you will find your ministry by persistent desire around the things.